President-elect Donald Trump's transition team is set to meet with Pentagon officials this week. The change in administration could have big implications for Defense Secretary Ash Carter's legacy. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni has been following this development and joins me now with more. Scott, the transition team seems a little late in getting around to Pentagon issues. What's in store?
Well, we're not exactly sure what's going to be in store. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of secret and top secret things that we're not too privy to. But we know that they're meeting this week and they have not met yet. Ash Carter spoke on Monday, and I think what he was trying to do was basically give a little bit of ease to the establishment. Unease is not good for companies, and he needs to keep a lot of companies happy. And so he's just trying to, basically he said it's been going on for 240 years. We've had a peaceful transfer of power. He's seen transitions in the past, and it's going to go as smoothly as it possibly can. They've been preparing for this no matter what the outcome was going to be. So I think he wants to just kind of allay some of the fears that were happening in industry that, we don't know what's going to happen with the stock market or all these different kinds of things.
So are there specific things that Carter says the Defense Department is doing to get ready for this change?
Yeah. So back in the summer, Bob Work, who's the Deputy Defense Secretary, he tasked the Defense Business Board to look at the transition. What's going to happen? How can they use their private sector experience to manage the transition? And they are supposed to come out with a report. It hasn't come out yet that we know about, so it should be coming out pretty soon because if they're going to use it. But, they just want the private sector's unique advice on what's going to happen. And, Bob Work's been central to the transition. That's been his kind of role as Deputy Defense Secretary for the past couple months as well.
Now, the Carter legacy is kind of a mixed bag. I don't mean to say good and bad mix, but there are some military things, there's some strategic things, and there's a lot of personnel things that he has overseen and pushed, I guess, at the behest of the administration. So let's talk about some of those.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, he did the third offset strategy. That was probably the biggest one, which is to keep the technological superiority of the United States over its adversaries. There's also DIUX, which was part of that, which added in a sort of reach out to industry through that third offset strategy. So he went to Silicon Valley, he put a headquarters there and said, can we get some of these startup companies and harness what they're doing and make them work for the Defense Department? Thirdly, there was the Force of the Future, which was a lot of personnel changes to bring in top talent to the Defense Department. So he did a lot of things like changing the amount of time that people have for maternity leave, making daycare hours longer, creating areas that they could bring private sector people in for a short amount of time to the Defense Department.
Rotational assignments, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
For people. Let's talk about DIUX, for example, because I think that the pivot, if you will, to Silicon Valley, never mind Asia, the pivot to Silicon Valley is part of a larger cultural piece of the Obama administration, which is looking at these entrepreneurs, people that don't generally do business with the Pentagon, the non-traditional companies for the next wave of innovation, as they call it, and technology. Do you think that's likely to survive? I mean, is that a good enough idea that it's really not partisan at this point?
We know that Donald Trump has a lot of business experience, so he can talk to these businesses and possibly cultivate what they have there. But his interest seems to be more in capacity than capability. He wants to add $100 billion to the Defense Department. And what Carter's doing, he's putting money in capability. He wants these new, flashy, exciting, futuristic kind of things, autonomous robots, stuff like that. I think what Donald Trump wants is more ships in the Mediterranean Sea, more ships in the Atlantic. So we might not see such a push for this technological advance, but more for shipbuilding, which also kind of goes to what he's been saying is jobs, jobs, jobs. He wants more jobs. That's going to get a lot more jobs in Norfolk when people need to build ships.
Yes, because the current administration has said we expect our military to be smaller numerically, but with having such a large technological advantage that the relative size in terms of numbers of bodies and ships and planes won't matter because it will be more than offset by that. That's unproven, though, at this point.
Right. And, I do want to mention that Congress has also been skeptical of DIUX as well. And within the NDAA, the Defense Authorization Act for 2017, they've said, we want the Defense Department to have more oversight of this, and we want more reports on what you're actually doing with this money.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni, and there have been a lot of cultural changes in terms of troops that have happened under Ash Carter and under Barack Obama. Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed. Now there are benefits and recruitment and opportunities for transgender people. And I think that's been probably more difficult for the military to inculcate maybe than they've let on. What's the outlook, do you think, for those kinds of initiatives?
So that's something that's a lot more up in the air. Mike Pence is someone who seems to be pretty, let's say, conservative on social issues. And, the repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and especially bringing women into military combat situations, has been an extreme point for Republicans. And, President Trump will only have to sign one piece of paper to change that. So we could see a lot of differences for transgender people, for LGBT people, and for women in what their role is going to be within the military, or if they can even stay in the military.
Or possibly he could figure, that's not a battle worth having when we're trying to get $100 billion increase in the budget for ships, planes, tanks, guns, and boots.
Right. But, it doesn't necessarily even have to be a battle because he doesn't need Congress's approval to do this. He just has to do an executive order, or his Secretary of Defense just has to do a policy change. So, and then just go back to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or just a complete ban altogether.
Yeah, that will be definitely something worth watching. Now, Trump has mentioned he wants to defeat ISIS, and he says the generals haven't done it. Well, what they've done is according to policy set forth by the administration. So is Carter, I guess it's probably too soon to ask if he's talking about what an increase in actual military kinetic operations against ISIS might do to the forces and might do to the budget.
Right. Well, we're not 100% sure what he's going to do, but the Defense Department has asked for almost $12 billion in supplemental funding in the past. I think it was last week that they asked for that. So they need Congress's help to get that through. They've been asking for it for this year, and that would keep troops in Afghanistan through 2017. It would go toward extra munitions for counter-ISIL attacks. It would go to also diplomatic State Department type things for the fight against ISIL as well. So, that extra money might help out Trump with what he's been trying to do too.
And I just wanted to ask you about a detail you're reporting on. The electromagnetic railgun was something of great promise if they could somehow generate enough power on a ship to make it operate. But now Robert Work is saying, it turns out maybe there's powder that can do the same thing, and we know how to use powder. That's really easy and cheap relative to the railgun. And so maybe some of the great innovations don't turn out to be all that innovative or useful.
That's definitely a possibility. And also kind of what he was saying in there was that with the third offset strategy, they're trying to give the transition team and the new presidency as many options as possible. So if they want to go with the powder gun, they're going to set them up for that. If they want to go with the electronic magnetic spectrum, they can do that as well.
Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to read his coverage at federalnewsradio.com.